And there's a lot of red lights in Lancaster. Really, when we left Tioga County, I could count the red lights in the whole county on one hand. Okay, so, and you move to Lancaster County, and you find out that there's farms, sir, and there's all kinds of unique smells. You know, I mean, all the way from the hog farm to the cornflakes factory to the where they make noodles and so forth and so on. You can go through this whole aroma test, if you will, if you just drive with your windows down. And I know that when I went into college, you know, I've shared before about trying to get it and God helping me get it. But another thing that he had to help me get was just the language in Lancaster County. That's a whole different country. I mean, I didn't know what people were saying. I know the first time we went to the bank and said, and the lady said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "I'm here so I can attend Lancaster Bible College." And she just froze in her seat. And she said, "The first thing you're going to need to know, it's not Lancaster, it's Lancaster." And from that moment on, I remembered there were all kinds of different languages. And part of my job was to load chickens. I did a part-time gig loading chickens out of barns. So I got running around with some of the Mennonite crowd or the Amish crowd or that crowd. And I worked with some Mexican guys, too. I couldn't understand either one of them. It's a whole different language that they share, and they talk back and forth. And some of the words came here, or they're kind of they're still not in Tioga County, but some of the words are here, and I find it interesting. Different culture, even here, not quite so heavy as Lancaster, but it's here as well. One of those words that is read up something. Now you might think that's normal talk. It's not. Just say it now. It's just not normal talk everywhere in this world. It's not normal talk anywhere, everywhere in Pennsylvania. I don't know what they meant when they say red it up. You need to red up that barn. You need to red up that truck. You need to red up those chicken cages. What? I have no idea what you're talking about. So to red up is from the Middle English, and if you want to know what the period is, about 1150 to 1450, the English in that period. Redden, which means to rescue or free from or to clear. So, and everybody in here is like, yeah. Duh, it's to red up something, is to organize it, is to clean it out, is to organize it in some fashion, right? Is to rescue it from the clutter, or to free it from the clutter, or free it from the disorganization that's there. To red it up, we want to organize it. Well, this morning I want to organize something. I want to organize the messages from the last 14 weeks. Because in my mind, my closet looks like this of messages. I need to organize my closet. I need to red up my closet of sermons. I need to make sense of where God has taken us. So I began to red it up. And we had a missionary speaker in the last, whoa, you want to know about what God's doing around the world. That was one of our Sunday gatherings. We had a missionary speaker. And then we had, this community needs the heart of God. We talked about that just a few weeks ago. This community needs the heart of God. I don't know about you, but I needed to red up my sermon. Whoa, the heart of Rhoda. Jeff spoke last week. Woo! Not just your grocery list, but having this intimacy with God. So intimate that God shows you stuff that you are blown away when it happens. Do not fear the new. Remember that? Don't fear the new. We can't fear the new. God's going to bring new into our world. And new us into new positions and us into new situations and bring new situations into us. You can't fear the new. If you're afraid of the new, you're going to run back to the closet and you're not going to live where God wants you to live. You can't fear the new. Do not fear the weight. You remember that one? That one goes over here. Don't fear the weight. And listen, I'm gonna endeavor not to preach every one of these messages. But God has spoke to us mightily in this room. And for you or for me, and you're just kind of, because I got the platform, and I'm going to organize out loud. I'm like, Cheryl, I don't know if she's talking to me or she's just talking. I don't know whether to answer her or not. She's talking all the time, just to herself, and she's speaking out loud. I'm like, oh, honey, I don't know if I should answer that question. So I'm talking out loud this morning. Now, listen, she solves a lot of her own issues by talking out loud, okay? That's a very healthy thing. I'm not beating up my wife at all. I need to talk out loud a little bit more. So here I am talking out loud this morning. What is this? MJ, Hebrews 10, the table. Remember the table set, the good dishes. Remember that statement? Hey, no paper plates on God's table. We got the good stuff. We got the good stuff, and God spoke to us through that powerful message that MJ brought to the platform. We got to organize things that are going on. The word feeds the more. You got to have more word if you're going to have more of God. 31,104 verses in the scripture. You got to have more of the word. You got to have more. Let's read this place up. You got to have this. You got to have Tobin, Isaiah 6. Woo! If you missed that one, you need to go back. And I've labeled that the throne room confession. I don't know if he had a name or not, but that's what I named it. The throne room confession. When Isaiah is in the middle of God's throne room. And the powerful words that Tobin spoke to us. How about, remember? Remember the child dedication service? 6 children were committed to the Lord and their families made amazing, amazing, amazing. See? I can't even read it up when I'm talking out loud. Child dedication, opposition to living the heart of God. Remember that? A couple weeks ago. We're going to face opposition when we live the hearts of God in our environment. How about this? We need to read this up. The more is valuable. Don't fear the more. The more is so valuable. Don't fear the more. Do not fear the more. The more is valuable. Do not fear the more. Do not fear the new. Do not fear the word. Do not fear the weight. Do not fear. We had a whole moments of don't fear. Don't let fear get you back in the cupboard again. And then we had this communion, remember? A powerful moment remembering the blood of Christ. Had a service all surrounding communion. Powerful services that God has spoke to us here. But I need to get them organized in my head. And so as I'm trying to organize them in my office, I'm going to organize these out loud. Because I don't think God's done. I'm sure that God's not done moving us toward Him. But look what He's done. Look what He's done just in the last 14 weeks here. Of the 52 times that God joins us together in any given year, look what He's done in just 14 of those. Can you imagine what He has planned for us? Can you imagine how the year's going to finish? Can you imagine today and the next 8 weeks what they're going to contain? Can you imagine what God wants to speak to us? Can you imagine that God wants to take us to a new level? Today's message is the manifestation of the heart of God. What does that look like? What does that look like? We had this message, this community needs the heart of God. And then we had the opposition to that heart of God living out. But I want to know what it looks like. What does it look like when we have the heart of God manifesting through us into this community? The manifestation, the demonstration, the visible display of God through His people. We take pictures of sunsets, and we take pictures of fall trees, and we take pictures of beaches, and we put verses on them. When do we take pictures of the food bank and put verses on them? When do we take pictures of somebody on their knees crying out to God? The beauty of the manifestation of the heart of God in our community, what does it look like? When God begins to manifest through His people, God begins to demonstrate His power and His love and His grace and His mercy through His people. What does it look like? Ephesians tells us this. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. The work, the good works that God has. Look at Ephesians 4:11. We had this a couple weeks ago. It is He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. Those good works are these works. It's the same works. Push the button, please. The good works, the works of service, are the manifestation of the heart of God. Are you with me this morning? Don't let me lose you, because I'm about out of breath. It is the works that you have in you because God put them in you, and the works that are growing in you because you have apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors in your life that are there just to fan into flames those works that God has put inside of you, just so they can come out, are the manifestation of the heart of God. His people touching this world with His touch. That's the good works that God has called us to do. Can you imagine what the manifestation of the heart of God looks like through your touch, Tyler? Through your touch. Fan into flames so that it comes out. And where you touch is the touch of God. His people touching this world with His touch. I want to talk about that touch. I want to talk about that work this morning. I want to talk about that touch and that work. Therefore, my dear friends, it says in Philippians 2:12, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. It's in you, He said. You're not working for it. You have it. And when you got it, you got something with it. You got a touch of God with it. Woo, I got to be making sense today. Don't let me go out of here saying, what in the world was he talking about? Redding up and this and that and make out the lights. What the heck is that? But when you got salvation, you got a whole bushel basket of touches of God. And they ain't for you, they're for this world. And He expects you and me to touch this world with His touch. And at salvation, you got it. Works flow from your salvation. Take note of that. Works flow from your salvation. Works flow because you have been freed. works flow because you had been freed from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. Are you with me this morning? Works flow because you're no longer residents of the kingdom of darkness. You've been rescued out of the kingdom of darkness and all the way into the kingdom of light. Woo! And you got a whole pile of works in you. And if you're frustrated, it's maybe because you got so many piled up works that you're going just a hair bit crazy because you got bottled up works. And God says, I want you to work out your salvation. You will need to lose some weight, maybe. You need to lose some spiritual weight. You're carrying around my touch that's not for you. Touch this world with my touch. I put it in you. The same passage, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, and not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Why? Because it is God who works in you. Whoo! Because it is God who is working in you. What reason? Who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Fear and trembling with this excitement and this urgency and this importance perfectly placed through your hands by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, perfectly through your hands, in my hands, into the exact moment, the precision, precise laser bullet of God through this finger into this community. No wonder the enemy doesn't want us doing it. No wonder there's opposition to living the heart of God. Works are the manifestation of God's heart through his people. I'm going to bring us back to that over and over and over. You disconnect from God, you're just going to get bottled up with works. You don't know what to do with them. You need to red it up with God so you can red it up inside so you can dispense those works into a world that so desperately needs Jesus. For crying out loud, you got the answers. His name is Jesus. The Old Testament, over and over and over and over, we see God referred to Yahweh, my Elohim, or Yahweh, my all gods I'll ever need. Elohim is plural for God. The single God is all the gods you're ever going to need, and his name is Yahweh. And I can remember when I came to faith in Christ, and I couldn't move for quite a few moments, and then I got up, and I must have looked a wreck, and I got to the door, and the pastor says, Ed, what is wrong with you? And I said, I have no idea. All I know is I can't do this. He said, you're right, but let me tell you who can. His name is Jesus. See, it didn't matter what the this was. The answer is Jesus. He didn't discuss my this. Not that he didn't care about my this, but it wasn't his. The this wasn't the issue right then. It was Jesus that was the issue. Because whatever the this is, Jesus can handle it. God is working through us. It's the manifestation of God's heart through his people into our world. Let me jump around just a little bit and let me tell you more about this works. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect or complete in Christ. To this end, I labor, I struggle with what? Oh, God's energy, which so powerfully works in me. You know what? I won't want those verses in that. I don't want those words in that verse, just to be honest with you. I don't want to have to labor and struggle with the power of God. I just want to show up and God, boom, it just happens. God, can't you just put me on like a cart and just wheel me around? I'm like a jump station for a dead battery. Just hook me up, God, boom, it's lit. Paul said, that's not the way it works. I labor and struggle with this power that's in me. And I labor and I struggle to get to the places where God's got me to go. I labor and struggle to go to the junkyard. I labor and struggle as I see what God wants to do through my touch. I work. Works take work. If you think you're going to coast through, you think walking with Jesus is easy, you got the wrong Jesus. Because it's not easy. You will labor and you will struggle because works take work. And we need to get ready. We need to roll our sleeves. We need to get ready. We need to say, whatever it takes, God. We're going to take this touch to this community. We're going to take this touch to that country. We're going to take this touch to that state. We're going to take your touch, God, no matter what it takes. I surrender all. Just so I can touch this world with your touch, God. Ephesians says this way, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. And then Jesus tells his disciples in Luke 9 and 10, he says this, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, which is kind of a cool thing. You can tromp on a snake or tromp on a scorpion and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Snakes, shmakes. When I dug in Israel, there were scorpions all over. They said, dude, you need to wear gloves because those scorpions don't think you're funny. I'm telling us right now, the enemy doesn't think you're funny, but God's doing something that you can crush his power. You, dear children, it says in 1 John, you are from God. You have overcome them. Because why? Because the one in you is greater than the one that is in the world. So works take armor. Push the button. Works take armor and authority and spirit empowerment. Are you with me this morning? Almost done. I already got 16 more pages of notes. As Tobin says, I normally have 4, but I have 8. Hang with me. Because works take armor. Works take authority. And works take spiritual empowerment, spirit empowerment. Don't mistake works and task. If your life is full of tasks, you need to spend some time with the heart of Rhoda. Because God does not give you a task. I worked for a guy one time that if you weren't extremely busy, he was not happy with it. So he had me dig a hole one day. I said, why am I digging this hole? He said, because I need to see that you're busy. I'm digging a hole to stay busy. Yes. I didn't work for that guy again. And I'm not interested in walking with a God that gives me tasks to do, because that's not the God that we have. God is not about giving you a busy life. God is not about just taking up your time. And the size of the job, the size of the work has nothing to do if it's a definition of a work or not. It takes authority, it takes power, it takes the armor. I don't care if you washing dishes can be a work. Preaching to thousands can be a task. Where is God taking us? Works are not just tasks. And be careful, New Lifers, be careful, because your attitude can take a work and turn it into a task. Joshua says this, or God says this to Joshua. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And, And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. We have heard it. Our hearts melt. And everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God, for Yahweh your Elohim, is your Elohim in heaven above all the earth. We heard what you've been doing. It ain't normal. It is the works of God. And we are scared of those who do the work of God. Works cause the kingdom of darkness to shudder. Can you imagine that? You know what I want? I want the drug dealers in this community to know us so much that they're afraid to come out in the yard when we're in the neighborhood. I want the world not to be able to say, we just soon leave those new lifers out of this situation because we're going to run ramshod through something here. We can't have men and women of God there. I want the kingdom of darkness to shudder when this community is touched by the touch of God through your hands and through my hands. Are you with me today? That's going to take work. But they're already in you because he put them in you at salvation. They're welling up. I can feel them. I can feel them. I'm not just saying that. That's not even in my notes. But I can feel them right now. They're in some of you. And they've been laying dormant for a while. And at this moment, God's watering them. And they're beginning to churn inside of you. And the enemy's trying to fill your head with doubt right this very moment. You're too busy. Your job, your house, you got to mow the lawn. You got to do this and that and another thing. In the name of Jesus, let them take root. Let those works well up inside of you. Do not put a cover on them. Because the enemy will shudder when we are busy with the works of God. When we are touching this community with the heart of God. This is, John says this, this is to my Father's glory, Jesus is talking, that you bear much work or produce the result of these works when you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Works bring glory to God. You can push the button. Works bring glory to God. Why? Because the touch brings the gospel. Because the touch brings the grace of God. Because the touch brings healing. Because the touch brings clarity and encouragement. Because the touch brings purpose. God's purpose into someone's life. Our touches, God's touch through us, our works bring God glory. Let me finish with this one today. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. And the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Listen, new lifers, no one else may see the touch that you put in someone's life. But I'm telling you, who sees it and who's not forgetting it? It's your God. There is no touch that does not get recorded by the hands of your God. And one day, you will stand before your Savior, and he will smile at you, and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for taking my touch and touching someone. You thought it was nothing. But it was my touch. No one else saw it. I did. The manifestation of the heart of God, singular for a purpose. It's not the manifestations, it's all the same God coming out in multiple different ways through your hands and through my hands. Are you with me today, New Lifers? We got it all read up here. You know what the 15th week ago message was? Na 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 na. See, this is Jeopardy. Do you know that? No. No, I didn't either. I had to look it up. Lidded jars. Will you get the lid off? And let God pour in. Let him rile those works that he's put in you at salvation. And let him work through you to bring his touch to a world that so desperately needs Jesus. God, we just wait on you for a few moments. God, again, you have been just impressed on me that there are those here that are trying to figure out what that churning is in their soul. It's the works. So, Father, if there's a wife here it's churning in, give her an open communication with her husband. If it's a husband here, give him open communication with his wife. If it's a child here, help him to say, Mom, Dad, I think this is going on in my life. But help us not to leave here, God, with just this, oh, that was cool. He screamed a lot and spit all over everybody. I, for one, want every work that you planted in me at my salvation to come out of me. So again, I ask, and Lord, the Spirit of the living God will fall fresh on us. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, God.